الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما هذه الحياه الدنيا الا له ولعب وان الدار الاخره لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing the masjid and the virtues of coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the status and position of a person that regularly visits the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much he is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further in this regard, we wish to quote a hadith quite comprehensive, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives some advices to one of his companions. Hazrat Hakam bin Umayr radiallahu anhu, sahabi, says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me once, and he gave him some advices, very, very pertinent advices to ascertain the direction of our life, the real focus of our life and the object of our life. Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's all the ahadith are so comprehensive that sometimes when you look at some of them, you feel this hadith is sufficient for me. If I just act upon this hadith, then my entire life will be reformed and rectified and I'll be directed towards the right path. Here Rasulullah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given jawami wal kalim, was given words that were very brief and concise, and the meanings were very vast and comprehensive and covered many, many facets of life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells the sahabi on this occasion, among the advices he gives him, the first advice is this, that live in this dunya like a guest. Live in this dunya like a visitor and live like a guest. Now here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only mentions one little small word, live like a guest, like a zayid, like a visitor. And obviously we all know what is the position of a person that is a visitor. Today in the Jummah congregation, there may be some people that live here, some people that work in this vicinity, some people may be guests, maybe just passing by, maybe just here for a day. From the morning they have come, in the evening they will go back. You will see them normally, their behavior is different from the other people. They come, read their salat, and they go and continue and fulfill the object that they have come for here. They do not have long plans, and they do not have elaborate preparations, etc. They have come for a short while. That's why in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, live in the dunya like you are a stranger, or like you are a wayfarer, a traveler, a person that is traveling. Person that's traveling stops for a while, fulfills his requirements and needs, thereafter he carries on. Does not come and purchase, makes long, long preparations, long investments in the place, etc. He comes here, fulfills his needs and carries on. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that we should live in the dunya like we are guests and like we are visitors. And this has a very far-reaching implication that our possession should not be so much that it becomes burdensome for us to look after them and to purchase them, to work our whole life to get them. Why? Guest is a person that comes for a certain need or a certain requirement, and he fulfills it and continues. Also means that we should not indulge in those things that are unnecessary and unrelated to us. We have come here, we have a certain purpose in life, we fulfill that purpose and we carry on. But on the contrary, if we look at our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and guide us, then sometimes it seems when you look at a person, his way of life, his mindset, his focus, his thinking, his efforts, and his ambitions and his aspirations, seems that this man will never leave this dunya. He will never leave this dunya. Sometime he reaches a ripe old age, so to say, one leg is in the grave, but yet we find him carrying on and on and on in the dunya, as if he will never leave this dunya. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, stay in the dunya like you're a guest. Some rewires, stay in the dunya like you're a wayfarer, a traveler. Stay in the dunya like you're a strange person. Come and do your work and complete your need, etc., and continue and go therefore and carry on. If you look at the life of the pious predecessors, we find that very meager possessions, very little thing, very small requirements, but complete focus on the object of life, this is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man does not have food to eat, but yet we find as far as his ibadat is concerned, as far as his muamalat, muasharat, akhlaq is concerned, he is concerned morning and evening that that should be rectified, that should be proper. Why? Because to collect and accumulate the worldly things is not our duty, is not our job. We are not being sent for this. We will not be questioned about this. We will be questioned about the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first advice Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives here to the sahabi is live in the dunya like you're a guest. The second advice he gives him, that make the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masjid, your abode. Make the masjid your abode. And this theme we have been discussing in many previous ahadith, the virtue of making the masjid your abode and your home. We all know when a person goes home, then he is completely relaxed, he's comforted, he's not in a hurry to do anything by it because he's at home. So here, make the house your homes, make the house your abodes. When you come in here, you are completely relaxed and you are comforted and you are not in any hurry, etc. You are sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, completely at peace and completely at ease. Look at our condition, may Allah forgive us. We find that, come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a bird in a cage, waiting for the moment to come out of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have quoted the hadith, al-masjid baytu kullum taqeen. The masjid is the house and abode and home of every pious person. Some riwayats has mentioned that it was the place of the meeting of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to meet into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best place on the face of the earth. But is it the best place to me? Do I try and aspire to be here as often as possible, to spend the maximum amount of time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is a question for each one of us to answer. Do a bit of soul searching, introspection. We find sometimes that it seems that we come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try and come here for the most minimum amount of time. 1 minute late and the entire congregation gets upside down. What happened to Imam Sahib? He forgot the namaz time. What happened? Everybody is turning left, right and center. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has brought us here for the worship of Allah. We should be sitting here relaxed and busy engaged in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salat is finished. We are sitting here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine even after the salat is finished, in some riwayat is mentioned that the angels of Allah make dua for that person. He's doing absolutely nothing. Just sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he has completed his salat, the angels are saying, Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu, oh Allah, forgive him, oh Allah, have mercy for him. That is why we find our predecessors, pious predecessors, used to spend lengthy periods of time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People used to virtually make itikaf, even out of Ramadan, and come and spend time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some of our kabirs who get sick, and they said, take my bistra and take my bedding and put it in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they don't miss any salat in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, alhamdulillah, we are favored with the work of da'wat and tabligh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such. There's not the only way, obviously, man can sit here even without going out in the path of Allah. But we find the whole trust and the whole theme of the elders is this, that the person spends the maximum time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, virtually making full amal on this hadith that make the masjids your abodes. Sitting in a masjid, eating in a masjid, sleeping in a masjid, and the masjid becomes the abode of that person. He is in this Nunari environment all over the world. We have a few youngsters who have just returned, mashallah, spent 4 months. Where did they go to? They went to the best places in India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. Where are the best places? In the masjids of the different towns, of the different areas. This is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this akabira inspired so that we can come out from the worst of places, the bazaars and the malls, etc., and come out, spend the time in the best places, that is the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make them our abode. What is an abode and what is a home? Where a person does everything, all his full needs are required, all his fulfilled needs are fulfilled, eating and drinking, sleeping, etc., goes to his home and is comforted there, doesn't want to come out there in a hurry. Similarly, this is the theme of the work, where you spend the time in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where you try and spend, that is why we should aspire not only to go out in the path of Allah, but also to try and spend extended time in the house of Allah. At least a few minutes after the salat is over, a few minutes before the salat, we are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our heart is yearning. Sometimes due to circumstances, a person due to his job or due to his work, etc., he cannot sit there for lengthy periods of time, but his heart is yearning to be here all the time. That's why a person whose heart is linked to the house of Allah, also there are great rewards for him. He will enjoy the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So the second advice Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the sahabi is to make the masjid your abode and make it your home. And I had mentioned earlier, there's no discrimination when it comes to the house of Allah. No matter who the person is, how his standing is in society, whether he's a rich person or a poor person, when he comes into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes the royal guest, the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the VIP he becomes in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so much showering of blessings and gifts upon bounties from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this person, regardless of his color, regardless of his language, regardless of his position. The fact that he's come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes the guest of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors him. We had mentioned previously great virtues of those people that make the homes, make the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their abode and make it like their homes. And one of them was this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the guarantor of his comfort, of his mercy, of his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the guarantor that he will pass over the bridge of Sirat. Over the bridge of Sirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for him, enter him into paradise and grant him his pleasure. For that person that makes the masjid his home, makes the masjid his abode. So this is the second advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives to the sahabi. The third advice Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him is to make your heart tender. Make your heart kind-hearted. Become kind-hearted and soft-hearted. And this will become when we ponder over the conditions of the people around us and how Allah has blessed us, then a person becomes kind and becomes considerate for people around him. And kindness and considerate and mercy and compassion can take many forms. One is to feed a person, to help a person who is in distress, to give a person clothes if he does not have clothes, to give him and assist him as far as his rental, etc. is concerned. This is also a form of kind-heartedness and benevolence and compassion for that person. And another form of compassion is to worry about his deen, to worry about his akhirat, to worry about his real abode, that is the akhirat, and to make efforts for that, to call him towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ensure, to make dua for him, to cry for him before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, guide certain person to go to him and to speak to him kindly and softly and lovingly. This is also a fine time of kind-heartedness. I would say the greatest level of kind-heartedness is to be kind towards that person and show concern and consideration for his akhirat so that he can be in everlasting bliss, everlasting enjoyment and everlasting comfort. Person helps a person here in this dunya with a meal, he gives him a clothing, he assists him with rental, etc. This is very temporary assistance. The real assistance is this, that he tries and fix him an abode and assist him in fixing an abode for him in the hereafter in paradise, where he will live in pleasure and in delight and enjoyment and comfort for the end of time and forever and forever. So kind-heartedness means a lot of things, though we do not rule out this, that we assist people or be considerate about them and consider their feelings, consider their conditions, consider their plight, etc., and difficulties, and assist them. There's also a form of kind-heartedness. So Rasulullah says, and as I mentioned, the part of Allah, this is found every day when a person goes out to every person, irrespective of who he is, or where he is, or what color he belongs to, concern and love is shown to that person, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the entire deen can come into this person, and he can also, inshallah, enter into paradise, the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we show concern about his salat, about his zakat, about all the other aspects of his deen. So this kind-heartedness also comes when a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third advice Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact the fourth advice Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives to the sahabi is that you should ponder over the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently. The bounties and ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should ponder over it frequently. Waskuru ala Allah. For in the Quran also this theme is there. The person should consider and meditate over the great bounties and boons and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And there are so many to enumerate, so many that we cannot bring them on the count. So many. But those that are directly related to ourselves, for example, this human body, this health, that al-Iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the greatest ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us from his side. There's no application or no favor or no greatness from our side or excellence that because of that Allah has given it, it was truly only the fazl and grace and bounty of Allah that we are granted this iman. We are granted this great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had come with and had spent their entire lives aspiring that insaniyat gets this hidayat and gets this iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us. And the true appreciation, obviously after pondering, a person is not just asked to sit and ponder. When a person reflects upon something, then he realizes its value, and then we realize the appreciation and the gratefulness that comes into his heart regarding that ni'mat. And the real gratefulness and appreciation towards this ni'mat is to aspire to safeguard this iman, to protect this iman, to develop this iman, to spread this message of iman. And this is exactly done when a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only done there, but one major way where you find that the prime concern when a person goes out in the path of Allah is to develop his iman, this great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect his iman, to strengthen his iman, to spread his iman to people around him, etc. And not only this is just one ni'mat. What about the ni'mat of health that we have? You only realize this when you see a person, for example, wearing a collar. What is wrong with you? Just one of my nerves here is being pinched. Just one small nerve from the thousands of nerves that are there is pinched. That man is wearing a collar for 1 year, 1.5 years, and this excruciating pain we find in his life morning and evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us from that. And there are so many different types of sicknesses, so many different types of illness and illnesses that people have that we cannot even imagine, that we do not even know of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected me and you and has given us sound health. And you can go into each and every organ of your body, in each and every aspect of your body, how Allah has created it, how it is functioning, etc. We only realize when we see a person that has some sort of sickness or illness, then we realize that Allah has protected me from this. There are thousands of sicknesses that Allah has protected us. Similarly, with health, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us wealth and has given us means to go by and spend in our life. Allah has not made us from those unfortunate people that we have to go around begging from the people for our livelihood. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with rozi and rizq as well. And so many other ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us families, has given us home, has given us good environment, has given us security. Look at the world today. There are so many people that cannot live in their homes. They have to leave their homes and go because of either some disaster that has taken place there, or either there's some form of disputes or quarrels between the different forces of the people, then they have to leave and abandon their homes. Alhamdulillah, we are sitting safely in our homes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much means and so much provision. We have safety, we have security, and above it all, Allah has given us tawfiq to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the tawfiq that we are sitting today in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the religious aspect of the ni'mats of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us excellence over many people in this dunya. We have Darul Ulooms, we have Ulama-i Kiram, we have Masajid, we have people that recite the Quran, we listen to the Azan 5 times a day. These are great ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to such areas in the earth where people are not even allowed to call the Azan. They're not even allowed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely. So these are great ni'mats and boons and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should reflect upon. And may Allah ta'ala make it so that we reflect upon this very often. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says here that ponder over the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently. Frequently we should ponder over this. Then the true appreciation of these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come upon us. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fifth advice Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the sahabi is that you should weep often out of the fear of Allah. Today, weeping, may Allah forgive me and all of us, we find this has become extinct and very rare in the ummah, where people are weeping for the sake of Allah, for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other types of weeping are there, for the man's business, for his children, for his wife, for this, for that, for dunya. But weeping only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not being found. And we find in the pious people of the past, this was an outstanding quality. People used to weep because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And weeping of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a great bounty that is mentioned that there are two drops that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes most. And what is that? One is, there's nothing more dear to Allah than two drops, qatratain. What are those qatratain? Qatratu dumu'in khashyatillah. One drop of tear that comes out when a person cries out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith and the other one is a drop of blood in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, just one drop that comes out is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some hadiths we find that la yalijun nar rajulun baka min khashyatillah hatta ya'udu al-labanu fi dir'i aw dir'i aw kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that person will never enter into jahannam. That person will never enter into jahannam who cries because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the milk does not go back into the udders. You know, when milk is taken out, it cannot be put back into the udders. Otherwise, it's impossible for that person that cries out of the fear of Allah, for that person to go into the fire of Jahannam. According to this hadith, is not possible. And how easy it is to cry. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us one hadith, ibku fa illam tabku fa tabaku. Cry. And if you cannot cry, then pretend to cry. Imagine how great is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for me and you when we cry. Otherwise, the immense mercy of Allah returns upon us. We become forgiven and accepted in His court. But if we cannot cry, then pretend to be crying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Rasulullah informs us, if you cannot cry, then pretend to be crying. Then also, inshallah, the special favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be upon us. Yet in other hadiths we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the crying of those people that are sinful. Likes their crying and their sobbing more than the one that sings the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, on one hand is a person that is praising Allah, on the other hand is a sinner that is crying because of his sins. This is more liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than that person who's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So crying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great quality, and it brings about it, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawn. Some hadiths mention that a person who cries, even if it is equal to a head of a fly, even if it is equal to a head of a fly, that person will enter into paradise. Some places mention that crying, when a person cries and falls on the ground, the tears, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never punish that person. So crying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith is mentioned, that person, رَجُلٌ زَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَادَتْ أَيْنَا. That person is from amongst those seven people that will get the arsh of the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will get the shade of the arsh of Allah. That person that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he begins in solitude and he begins to cry. Here ulama mentioned, out of the love and yearning of Allah, or out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cries. And obviously, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be there at all times. Why? Because of the qudrat and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us and our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person should always be afraid and always have this fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the wrath of Allah, from his anger and from his punishment. And crying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very great ni'mat. After mentioning these five advices, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, gives us a very, very comprehensive piece of advice, that the mundane desires should not overcome you. You should not be overcome by the mundane desires, that is the worldly desires. And what are the worldly desires? We all know, possessing this and possessing that, increasing this and increasing that, and lifting the level of my life standards as far as my house is concerned, as far as my car, etc. is concerned. Let not the mundane desires overcome you, lest that will change your position. Lest that will change your position. Otherwise, let not the worldly desires overcome you, so that your position becomes changed. You are not attached to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not live like a guest. Your heart is not soft and tender. And you do not ponder over the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you do not weep out of the fear of Allah. This is what it means, that not let the worldly desires overcome you, so that your position changes. And all these advices Rasulullah SAW has given, that will not remain anymore. Let us look into our lives. How many of us, may Allah give me and all of us tawfiq, how many of us live in this dunya like we are guests? How many of us make this home, this masjid, the home of our homes? How many of us make it such that our hearts are tender and kind? We become affected by conditions around us. How many of us ponder over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how many of us weep in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then what will happen? Then you will become involved. If that happens, if the mundane desires overcome you, then what will happen? You will become engaged, involved in building unnecessary houses, that which you will never live in. That which you will never live in. Otherwise, over and above your needs and desires, you will begin to construct buildings, buy properties that you find today. Person takes you around, and what is his pride? This property belongs to me, and this block of flat belongs to me, and this belongs to me. He's more concerned about that. Yet we know our real abode is the grave when we go away. All those properties will stand there. Like one person so nicely mentioned, how many liars there were before us, that they all claimed that this is mine, and that is mine, and that is mine. And when the man went away, he took nothing, to show that what he said was a real big lie. And it was a farce that this is his, because he took nothing with him when he went to the grave. The Rasulullah says, the first thing that will happen when the mundane desires overtake you, you will begin in getting involved in building structures and homes that are unnecessary, that you will never live in. Firstly. Secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you will get anxious to accumulate such wealth that you will not need. Such wealth that will be above your needs and above your requirements. And look at our lives. Person is earning a good living. He has things whereby his needs are fulfilled. Yet we find him slogging from morning till evening and engaged in earning the dunya. And if he asks himself, he does not know what he is earning for, because Allah has given him sufficient wealth. So you will get involved, anxious to accumulate that amount of wealth that you will not require, that will be above your needs. And thirdly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you will begin to yearn for those things for the future that you will not possess. So many people have such dreams that one day I will possess this, one day I will possess this, my empire must be bigger, so and so and so and so, and he never gets it in his life, and his entire life is wasted in these aspirations which he does not acquire. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us here and tells us that not let the mundane desires overcome you and overtake you, because this will become your position. And as I mentioned, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly we are reminded about the reality of this dunya and about the akhirat. Mention is made about the qabr, mention is made about the hashar, mention is made about qiyamah, mention is made about jannat and jahannam, which very rarely nowadays is made outside in our circles. Very rarely we find a circle of people getting together, talking about jannat, talking about jahannam, talking about the qabr. No, when the talk about the qabr starts, even at home, family will say, keep quiet, you are talking not proper. Your improper talk is disturbing me. Yet, supposed to be, أَكْسِرُ زِكْرَ هَازِمِ الْلَزَّاتِ Rasulullah SAW told us that abundantly we should think of death. And think of death means death and all those stages that come after death. So going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a balance also, like how Mawlana had mentioned last night, that on one hand we find we are bombarded with all the all the information about the dunya and everything, all the greatness about of the dunya, whether it is in our homes, whether it is in our papers, whether it is the billboards outside, whether it is in the casual conversation outside also, people are discussing only the dunya, order to create a balance, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we find the prime team is the akhirat, is the deen of Allah, is the worry of our amal, etc., and preparation for the akhirat. Alhamdulillah, we are fortunate, we are having an ijtima next weekend, starting in Lodium from Friday, ending on Monday, and we find all the people, thousands of people from all walks of life and from all different areas are coming there for the same fikr and same concern, that how we can make our prime concern the akhirat, live in this dunya and make prime concern the akhirat and make due preparations for that. And alhamdulillah, people make great sacrifices who come there, and we know history has proven that Allah's fadl, many people are guided towards the right path, and one person is guided, we find his entire family changes, his entire outlook changes. And that may be to my credit and to your credit, because الدَّالُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. We must have invited somebody to go out in the path of Allah or to attend an ijtima, and something there must have changed his life. We also will get all those rewards that that person get. And our life, the focus of our life also will be brought proper to the towards the akhirat, towards the real preparation, and using this masajid, etc., and making them our abodes in preparation for the real life to come, that is the akhirat. So we should make an effort, inshallah, to go to the ijtima that is held in Lodium, inshallah, from next weekend, from Thursday, that is the 22nd, and will be completed on Monday, the 25th. And as I mentioned, there are people from thousands of people from all walks of life. And with one fikr and one concern come there, how we can make preparation for the real life, that is the life of the hereafter. And we find people from overseas also coming with the same concern. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to attend and take other members as well. As I mentioned, this is the true kindness, this is the true tender mercy and compassion we have for the next brother when we are concerned about his deen. How he will fare in the hereafter. How we will fare in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We have become so indifferent regarding this. One Arab brother had put it so nicely. See, today we ask our Muslim brother, how are you feeling? He said, oh, I'm well. And we know that person doesn't read his salat. He does not carry out the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is not well spiritually. He is heading towards disaster. We take that reply and we are contented and we sit unconcerned about that person. Unconcerned about that person, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq to have concern of ourselves, our wives, our children, our family, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the entire human race. In fact, our Kabir mentioned, remember it was when there was a earthquake in Russia, one of our Kabir in Nizamuddin cried for hours that so many hundreds and thousands of people have died, and they have all gone, died upon kufr, and we were unconcerned about that. Now the report is 28,000 people have died in Japan. How many of us, including myself, may Allah give us tawfiq, had this concern or shed a few tears? The 28,000 people have died upon kufr and are going towards where Allah has destined for them. What concern did we show to them? What concern did we show to our wives and children and those family members of ours who do not fulfill the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the requirements of deen? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to show concern for ourselves, mercy upon ourselves and our wives and our children, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.